men. How many of y'all have ever traveled, men, if you're married, and you traveled with your wife or your significant other, lady significant other, let me preface that. How many of you know, how many of your wives have suitcases this big, this wide, and have the amazing ability to fill it up with things, and then you got to carry it? Huh? Women have, let me not, I'm not going to generalize women, but my wife, and she's not in here so I can talk about her, lock that door. She packs her suitcase, and, you know, I got a little suitcase, I pack it, and I'm ready to go. Okay, we're ready, let's go, and takes her an hour to put her stuff in the suitcase, and you could put a family of little people in that suitcase. And it feels like a family of little people when you carry it. And I've got to take that thing and try to hoist it up into the car. How many of y'all can relate to that? No, I'm not weak. I'll show you right now. But you know what? A lot of us spiritually carry around things like that, where God never intended us to carry things. We aren't, you know, you're not equipped to be a heavy hauler spiritually. We're not equipped to carry a load capacity that Jesus was meant to carry. In the book of Matthew, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden." If I ask you today, would that identify your life, that you labor and are heavy laden? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Can I just ask you today, how's your life as far as peace? "Take my yoke upon you," Jesus said, "for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Because I've often found myself in ministry sometimes carrying things that God never meant for me to carry. And I remember one time it related to this way, that you don't carry dump truck loads in your pickup because you don't have the capacity. And so today I want to talk about traveling light. We're going to use the story of blind Bartimaeus. How many of you know the story of blind Bartimaeus? You know, it's interesting to me. They're really, if you look throughout the Bible, there are two people in the Bible whose names describe who they are. And the first one is blind Bartimaeus. I mean, you know that sometimes you can so identify with your problem that your problem becomes your label. And then there was Doubting Thomas. Because he didn't believe, he became known as Doubting Thomas. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be called Believing Frank. Really? I would. So blind Bartimaeus, he was so connected to his issues and so weighted down with his issues that his issues became his identity. Because even in the Bible, he's called blind Bartimaeus. Let's look at that in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. And I'm going to teach you today on how to let go of some things, how to press in to transfer your load onto Jesus. Y'all are ready for that. You need to do a little bit of that today, a little bit of load transfer. So Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52 says, "Then they came to Jericho, Jesus and his disciples, and together with a large crowd, they were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus," which means son of Timaeus, "was sitting by the roadside begging. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.'" You know, that's not how he shouted. Because if you read the Greek, Let me turn my mic off because I don't want to blow your ears out. This is how he shouted. I'm on now. And he said, "Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said and called him. So they called him to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling. That's funny because the same people that were telling him to shut up are all of a sudden, hey, Jesus. Throwing off his cloak, jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. Now, isn't that interesting? That Jesus asked him that question. Jesus already knew who he was. He already knew his issue. But why would Jesus ask, what do you want me to do for you? Because a lot of times, we don't want our problems dealt with. We just want Jesus to do something for us. Because I'm going to tell you right now, in order for Jesus to do something powerful in your life, you got to get real with Jesus. You see, Jesus knew the main problem of blind Bartimaeus, but he wanted blind Bartimaeus to say it. He wanted blind Bartimaeus to give it up. He wanted blind Bartimaeus to get real. So he asked the question, what is it that you want me to do for you? Because he didn't just walk up to him and heal him of his blindness. Because maybe a lot of times we get so comfortable with our problems that we don't want help with our problems. We just want something. Come on. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight. He followed Jesus along the road. Let's talk about the blindness of blind Bartimaeus. I looked up the Greek word of blind, describing Bartimaeus, and that word is not just a physical blindness. The Bible, in the Greek word, the root word for blind is also mentally blind. That not only could he not see physically, but his physical condition had totally ruined him mentally. Come on, are y'all getting this? That blind Bartimaeus wasn't just blind physically, but there was something that caused him not to be able to have a capacity mentally to see. So he had problems. You've heard me say before that there are two types of people. There are people with problems and problem people. People with problems won't help. Problem people a lot of times so identify with their problems that they don't want to deal with their problem. They just want to talk about it. Blind Bartimaeus had got so accustomed to his physical condition that it became a mental issue. He was not just physically blind, but he was mentally blind. His physical condition had become his identity. Helen Keller once made a quote. They asked, how many of you remember who Helen Keller was? She was the first person that was able to communicate, read, and write that was both blind and deaf. They said, they asked her about her physical condition and said, what's it not like to have no vision? She said, what would be even worse would be to have not have sight and lack vision. You see, Bartimaeus, not only did he not have sight, but because of his mental capacity and ability, he lost his vision. Man, you know what the word says? Proverbs 29:18 says, without a vision. Not vision. He say vision. He say without vision. He said without a vision. People perish. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run a race of perseverance that's marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord wants us to throw off things. Because I want you to understand, the Bible said that Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. We were never meant to be beside the road. A road wasn't built for us to be beside it. A road was built for us to be on it and to be moving. You've heard me say this many times, that God is about our movement. The devil is about hindering and immobilizing us from moving. So here's blind Bartimaeus, who had become accustomed to his issue, and it derailed him. It put him in a place of immobilization. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, let us throw off the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. How many know the picture of blind Bartimaeus is the picture of Hebrews 12 where it says it besets us? That word beset means to be thrown off course. It means to be stopped. It means to be immobilized. Bartimaeus is a picture of a believer who's lost his purpose. Here's his position became one of sitting beside the road. The word, the Greek word of sitting beside the road means to be immobilized, affixed to dwell. A place of no hope, no direction, and no movement. A place of no hope, no direction, and no movement. Let me ask you today, we serve the God of hope. How's your hope? He became affixed to this place of immobilization. He had accepted his lot in life. Can I just tell you something? I've been praying over this message and thinking about people. We as Christians should never get to a place where we say, oh, well, I guess I'll just settle here. Oh, well, I guess this is all that I'm going to have in life. Never get to that place where you begin to dwell in the place where you feel like you're just going to accept where you are right now, because God never intended you to be beside the road. Affixed, dwelling in a place. God wants you to get up and begin to move. Here's his position, sitting beside the road, immobilized, affixed, dwelling in a place of no hope, no direction, and no movement. He had accepted his lot in life. I'm telling you, God has called us to overcome. God has called us to be victorious. God has called us to be finishers, not settlers. When God called the children of Israel, he called them to possess the land and then take the land and conquer the land, not to become settlers. Listen, we should never accept the mentality of someone who is just taking a lot in life. That, okay, this is where, I guess this is where I'll be. We serve the God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who can, but a lot of times we have a minimum wage mentality. God's called us to live in abundance. And I'm not just talking about financially, but I'm talking about in every area of our life. We should be exuberant, excited, happy, overcoming, never settling. You know, that word perish in Proverbs 29:18 is a Hebrew word that means to be sedentary. It means to be firm and immovable. This is where Lot was. I'm going to give you five keys to letting go of the junk and to get to moving. How many of y'all remember the show Martin? Time to get to stepping. I guess not everybody remembers the show. That's okay. Number one, first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get sick and tired of your settlement. It's okay to be sick and tired. You know what I've learned about the Lord? The Lord will allow you to stay where you decide to stay. Until you get sick of it. because he let the children of Israel stay in a situation where he never intended them to be until they got sick of it and began to cry out. Some of y'all need to start crying out up in here. It's okay to be sick and tired. It's not okay to live stuck. Some of us in here need an aha moment. We need a eureka moment where in the middle of our pig pen we say, wait a minute. Prodigal son came to himself, the Bible said. What does that mean? That means he came to a new realization that, guess what? This is not what life is all about. This is not where I'm supposed to be. I was created for greater things. It's one thing to have a realization of where you are, but it's a whole other thing to understand this is not where I'm supposed to be. You see, Bartimaeus knew where he was. He just wasn't moving. He had settled. He had settled for his lot in life where God never intended. Some of us are in a place God never intends us to be. And he's just waiting on us to say, wait a minute. There's more for me to do. There's more for me to be. Some of us need to break the cycle in our life. Same old cycle, the same old, the same old stuff, the same old sin, the same old weight. I'm preaching today. I want you to listen to me. We need to tell the devil, take a hike, devil. We need to stop the saga, stop the drama, stop the insanity, and wake up and say, wait a minute. It's okay to get sick and tired. Number two, some of us, the second thing is, you need to get uncivilized. We get saved and God does something in our life, and then we get in this place of piety and we forget how to cry out. I'm telling you, Bartimaeus didn't just cry out. He was making a scene, man. Everybody's saying, "Ooh, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Just be quiet." I'm telling you, when you realize the place that you're in and how desperate you need Jesus, don't you listen to those people telling you to be quiet. Those aren't your friends. They ought to be saying, wait, let me help you, Jesus. Verse 47. It said that when he heard Jesus of Nazareth, that it was Jesus, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible says, the Greek word for that is he screamed at the top of his lungs with all his might, he screamed. Some of you need to get uncivilized. I know this is not real holy, but I think about the song the Black Eyed Peas sing. Some of y'all need to get ignorant and hectic. Let's get ignorant, let's get hectic. No song. Get uncivilized. Number three, you ought to get ignorant. Not how you spell it, I know that. That's how you say it. When they told him, stop, the Bible said he cried all the more. Well, you just got desperate. It don't matter what people think anymore. It don't matter people telling you to stop. Just get ignorant. Ignore the naysayers. Ignore those that say you ought to be a little more reserved in your walk with God. This Jesus thing, you're taking it a little bit too far. Get crazy loud. Some of y'all need to amp your worship up a little bit. I know some of y'all are football fans. You scream a lot louder than you do at church. I love LSU, but they ain't going to get my praise. I love Jesus more than I like LSU football. I like it a lot, though. Get ignorant. Number four, get up and take the robe off. I'm telling you, I want you to understand something. Said Jesus called to him in verse 48. They said, cheer up on your feet. He's calling you. Verse 50 is a pivotal act. Because the Bible says that throwing off his cloak, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. That was an act of faith. Because the cloak represented something. Remember how we talked about that last week, that the beggar's coat meant something. He wore this coat. It was a coat of depression. It was a coat that said what his class was, that you're just a beggar. But there was something that rose up in him when Jesus came his way. The Bible said he threw his cloak off. He said, in his mind, he was saying, my destiny is about to change. He threw off his cloak, and he jumped to his feet. Man, this is a guy ready for change. Some of y'all want change, listen to me, but you don't want change bad enough. You hadn't done what you needed to do to receive your change. Get up and take your robe off. He knew. Do you understand why Bartimaeus was acting like he did? Because he knew that this was his chance. This was it. The Bible said that Jesus and the disciples were leaving out of Jericho. And he knew that if he let him go, he'd stay where he was. But he knew that if he cried loud enough and got his attention, things would begin to change. And because Jesus came, he threw off his coat because he knew that his destiny was about to change. Some of y'all are on the precipice of breakthrough in your life, but you got to throw off the old. Get up and take that robe off. It was an act of faith. It was an act according to his destiny. That from that day forward, he would never be the same again, and he'd never wear the coat again. Wow. Never wear the coat again. From that point on, things were going to be different. Number five, the fifth thing, and we're about to close. I know this is a short message. Somebody say, thank God. We need more short messages, don't we? Number 5, verse 51 through 52. Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Fifth thing that we're going to have to do to let go of the junk in our life is we've got to get real. Because if we don't get real, we'll never get free. We've got to get real and get free. Can I just challenge you with a question? How long will you allow Jesus to be an addendum of your life and not Lord of your life? How long will you allow Jesus just to be another thing that you do and not a Lord that you follow? How long are you going to let things in this world compete with lordship? I don't need to know the answer. You need to know the answer. Time to get real and get free. You can have as much of Jesus or as little of Jesus as you desire. The place where you are today is the place that you've accepted to be. Now, if you want things to change in your life, you may have to do some radical things. You may have to get a little uncivilized. You may have to get a little bit undone. You may have to do some things that are radically different than what people think you need to do. But the question is, will you do it? You remember the question that Elijah asked the prophets or the people of Israel when he was fighting the prophets of Baal? He said, how long will you halt between two opinions? Jesus, I believe we could ask that question today. How long will you halt between two opinions? And he said this. He said, if God is God, serve him. But if Baal is God, serve him. And I believe Jesus would ask us the same thing today. If Jesus is Lord of your life, then make him Lord. Get real and get free. Jesus asked the question very poignantly to blind Bartimaeus, what is it that you want me to do for you? In other words, I have the power to do whatever you want me to do, but you're going to have to say what you need. God has the power to do all kinds of things in your life. He has the power. He has the desire. His will is to do it. The question is, how bad do you want it? How bad do I want it? Am I willing to get real with Jesus? You see, God has a destiny for you just like he did Jacob, the trickster, the manipulator, because we're all Jacobs in one way or the other. Usurper. I'm good. I've got the gift of gab. I can use it to preach or I can use it to manipulate. Some of us have that ability, and we use it in the wrong way. Now I've got to be careful because I can shift either way anytime. I got to stay in this. I got to stay prayed up. I got to stay seeking God. If not, I'll just flip over into my Jacob side. God had to ask Jacob. He said, "Who are you? What's your name?" And Jacob didn't answer God like we thought we answered. Well, I'm Jacob. You know, he had to come and humble himself and say, Lord, I am Jacob. I am a manipulator. I'm a trickster. But I don't want to be that. Then God's made a statement that changed his destiny forever. He said, from this day forward, you're not be called Jacob, you're Israel. He moved from trickster, manipulator, usurper, heel grabber to Prince of God. Wow. Abraham had to have an identity change to do what God called him to do. He began as Abram. You know what the word Abram means? Exalted father. You know what that says? It's about me, baby. Look at me. But he became Abraham. You know, the Yah in Abraham is the God breath. God calls himself Yahweh. And that word, breath of God, in the beginning when he breathed the life, it was Yah into Adam. You see, when you humble yourself and you get real with God, God can breathe into you. And Abraham became Abraham, which means the father of many. From exalted father to, hey, look at me, to, hey, it's not about me anymore. Some of us need the God breath in us today. We need a change in our name. We need a change in our identity. But the first thing that's got to happen is we've got to get real. How many of y'all are ready? I'm serious. I'm really ready. Say, God, I'm sick and tired. You know, you can even minister in your own strength. You just won't have any results. Now, you'll get men praise from men and say, oh, that was a great message. But the supernatural will never be released. See, what we need every one of us, is we need the supernatural breath of God breathed into our situation. But it only comes through humility and confession. Lord, that I might see, I mean really see. And I might be not be called blind Bartimaeus anymore. Messed up Bartimaeus. Beggar Bartimaeus. But that this day forward, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be loosed into my destiny to fulfill everything you've called me to do. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. I sense the anointing of God in the house today. I thank God for that. You know, never get too comfortable with God's presence. Always live an acknowledged life that God's here. Some of us have gotten too civilized in our walk. You know what you call a civilized walk? A religious walk. We've gotten too busy in our life and God, we've squeezed God out. We mentally ascend to the fact that Jesus is Lord, but our life says otherwise. How many of y'all ready to say, Pastor, I'm ready to get ignorant up in here. I'm ready to press in. I am not sitting on the side of the road in the state and condition I've been in lately. I'm tired of it. I'm sick and tired. Lift your hand right now if that's you. Say, Pastor, I need an aha moment in my life. Come on, keep them up. Get both hands up before the Lord. Let's pray together. I'm going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that we are a moving church. Full of movers and shakers, not settlers. Lord, we take off. I want you to see yourself right now as blind Bartimaeus did. The Bible said he took off his cloak and he jumped to his feet. And he ran to Jesus. See yourself taking off that coat. Whatever that coat is that's been hindering you, it's time for it to go. And Lord, I release a movement of movers in this house, that wherever we go, whoever we come in contact with, we're going to make a difference for the kingdom of God. We're not settling anymore. We're not allowing people to squelch what we want to do, what you want to do in us. We're not trying to be civilized anymore. But Lord, we just want to please you. Lord, I release, Father, right now, I bind the enemy. And Lord, every root that the enemy's tried to establish in your people, we take it out now by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we loose the purposes of Jesus Christ into your people right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I want to ask you, is there anyone here who say, Pastor, I know I am where I am because I've not made Jesus the top priority in my life. How many know that Jesus came to this earth and lived a sinless life? Paid the ultimate price because we couldn't pay it on the cross. How many say, I need that? I need to make a decision today to make Jesus Lord of my life. Anybody? Come on, raise your hand if that's you. Anybody? Today's your day of destiny. Don't let Jesus walk out of Jericho without you making a decision. Anybody?
Won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours.
I'll set you as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my arm. For there is love that is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave. Many walls.